Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dope dads of the Fatherhood is Lit community. Traveling is something that many of us love to do. But what if you're in the trucking industry? How do you balance dad life and working in an industry that can take you away from home for a large amount of time? This week, we get to hear all about it with Garen Huffman of Huffman Trucking. What's good, G? How are you feeling, bro?
I'm blessed, brother. How are you?
Oh, man. Another day in New York City. It's nice and cold. I know y'all don't got to deal with that.
Right.
The good life, huh? So yeah, man, before we start, man, how many kids do you have, bro? And where you from?
I got one kid right now, and I'm from Los Angeles, California.
Oh,
the
man.
Land of milk and honey.
Yeah. I heard you say something in another interview that LA is where people like swag out, like they get the best clothing, the best dress and all that. You think that's still true, bro?
Man, you know what? I don't know, man. Y'all out there competing hard, man, in New York.
I think we set the standard. I think both of us do. You know, we set it for East Coast. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely, man, my hat goes off to you guys out there, man. The style, the grace, everything, man. I love the culture.
Yeah, y'all got it too, man. Then, you know, y'all got the weather for the cars, man. We don't got that.
Yeah, we could drop the top here and there, man. We could drop the top almost every day.
Oh, man, that's funny, man. But yeah, so, you know, I put a story up saying that I was going to talk to a dad that was in the trucking industry, and my DMs went crazy, man. Like, everybody was hitting me up. But you're different,
nice.
Bro. You actually said that you're not a trucker, but you like driving.
No.
Tell me more about that real quick, man.
Well, the thing is that I like nice things, as everybody else does. And I know the means of getting those types of things is putting in the work. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I just happened to jump into an industry where I knew it was a lucrative industry, but it was a paying industry. And the thing is that you have to know how to budget your money first and foremost. So I took everything that I knew and I ran with it. So I basically just jumped up and started this trucking company, and I jumped in the passenger seat, not just because I wanted the money, but because I wanted to learn my business. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all took off from. Like, I needed to learn my business before I allow any other entity or person to take over, you know, without me being there. So I learned the business and I got in there, and I'm just like, I'm a hobby trucker is what you call it. Mm-hmm. I do it for a hobby. I love it.
Yeah. So when you started getting into it, was your son already born?
Yeah, he was already born.
All right,
so, he was already born.
So I heard that when you jumped into it, right, you actually quit or left a good paying job for a while to do like the hard work of trucking for like 2 years or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true, man. I put it to the side. I was working out here in the ports of Los Angeles as a longshoreman, and you know, if anybody knows what that is, starting off, you know, you can make about $100,000 a year starting off.
That's beautiful.
And so, yeah, and I started when I was 22. And mm-hmm. So I've been out there for 15 years doing what I do, but I had to put, you know, I knew that was it's a great job, great benefits, great everything. But I knew at the end of the day that it was just a tool. And it's just, and that's with any 9-to-5, in my opinion, you know, mm-hmm. no disrespect to anybody that, you know, where my heart goes out to you and I commend you guys, but a 9-to-5 is designed, in my opinion, mind you, in my opinion, is a tool for you to advance yourself to get to the level where your employers are at. You get what I'm saying? So I knew that. And so I jumped into that mentality. I had that mentality. So I jumped in and I just executed it. I figured it out. I said, you know what? I'm going to use this job. So as a means of income for me to support my actual business. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I did it effortlessly. Like, I didn't quit my job. I just put it on standstill. You know, if I don't go to work, I don't get paid. Simple. But what I was doing was I was working regardless, but I was just working for myself.
Mm-hmm. And as a longshoreman, were you gone from the crib as much as you would be driving a truck?
No, I was going home every night as a longshoreman. I'm not. See, that's some people don't. They think that a longshoreman is like a merchant seaman, and the merchant seamen are the guys that's on the actual ship that travel from state to state or country to country. You know, I just happen to discharge and I load containers on and off the ship into the yards. You know, so that's I worked the regular. It was a 9-to-5 job. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. And I seen that it was a huge industry when I seen all the outside truckers in there. And I was like, man, these people are coming in left and right. And I started talking to a few of them, and they were giving me the spiel. And I just jumped into the transportation world, man. I knew that's a good place to start a legacy at. Mm-hmm.
So how did you mentally prepare yourself then, like, to go from a regular 9-to-5, right, into the trucking industry where you might be gone for a while and you need to learn it, right? How did you balance that out with the family? Like, how did you balance that out with the time with your son? Because now you're going from being there every day at a certain time to maybe coming home a little bit later or not coming at home, coming home period for that day. So how did you make your presence felt?
It was a lot of sacrifice, but at the end of the day, I was so into my family that I would book a load going to a location, and I did it, you know, a little backwards, some would say, but I was so, I'm like, money is great,
yeah,
you know, but my family is greater. The thing is that I would literally book a load going to a location, and I did a lot of local stuff, mind you. I was going up north. I didn't really go out of the city, like out of the state like that. You know, I did, because California is such a big place and you can make so much money here. It was like, I don't have to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would probably be gone the max. Huh?
You could kind of keep it a little local, right?
Yeah, I kept it all the way local. Like I would, the furthest I would go is probably Las Vegas, Nevada, you know? But I figured a niche out in my own state to where I could make, like, the thing is about trucking, whether you do over the road or whether you do dump trucks, is that you want to go less miles for more money. And once you figure that algorithm out, you're going to be okay. I see a lot of dudes, you know, they want to have this reputation of being a super trucker, and they drive all the way to Florida from California. But what they fail to realize is not a lot of produce or anything coming out of Florida to come back to California. So, you know, you got to weigh your options out. Like, is it really worth burning that much fuel to get that certain amount of money? So what I did was I did my own research and I did my own math, and I figured, look, I can make twice as much money here and go home damn near every day, you know, than me stepping outside of my own city, my own state. And that's what I did. I figured it out. I figured out something that was good for me. So I would literally leave for like one day. If I did sleep out a few nights, you know, it wasn't, I had it set in my head that I had to be back home by a certain day. So I really, you know, I feel that the presence of a father, a parent, parents, you know, period in a child's life is mandatory. And I didn't, you know, I didn't want my child to have that void of not seeing his father. So I made it my life. Some days I wouldn't even come back with a load. I would deadhead back home because my baby was on my mind.
Just straight home, right back to the crib.
Yeah, I would literally deadhead. I wouldn't book a load coming on. I just literally drop my load and I would jump in my truck and I would literally just come home. I wouldn't even care. I didn't care. I just had to be around my son.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. Was there ever a time that you actually chose the opposite, where you were like, damn, like this cash right here could hold us down for a couple months where I could be home every single day? You know what I mean? Like without a problem. Like, did you ever have to choose the money over the child? And how did you?
No, I never chose no money over my child. I don't care about
that's real. That's real. That's real. Because, you know, 90% of the people out there will say, yeah, you know what? I took the money because I'll make it up tomorrow. And sometimes I don't really believe that there is a tomorrow. You know what I mean?
There is no tomorrow. You know, there isn't a tomorrow. You know, everything is an illusion in this world. And I'm not going to get too spiritual with everybody. But, you know, everything is just an illusion. It's what you actually create. Right. It's the moment you create right now. We're creating a moment right now. So guess what? Two seconds ago, that was called history. I created history 2 seconds ago, because whatever I just said 2 seconds ago is going to go down to history. I don't know what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. So right now, this is the physical that we in, and that's how I live my life. So I don't live, you know, all that tomorrow stuff. I live for right now. And right now is that I have to be in my children's life. I have to be in my wife's life. I have to be in my family's life, because tomorrow, like if I don't prepare, like I'm preparing right now. If I don't prepare for tomorrow, I already lost the battle for whatever was in my, presented to me.
True. So what do you think was that changing factor that made you think like that? Like, I think for a lot of us coming from where we come from, you know, we're taught to like be the man of the family, hold down the fort. If you're not home, who cares? Go make the cash, right? What made you think differently? Like, was that your own parents or was that just like experience?
Yeah, well, my father was a hardworking man. My mom was a hardworking woman, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I understood the whole philosophy of my father. My father was a very much older man, you know. He had me later on in his life. And like, put it like this, my oldest sister's 20 years older than me.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest. So the thing is that I come from great stock. You know, my father was very, very well-known person, and he just raised me. My mom raised me with good work ethics and just having great morals about themselves. And that's just what I took it, and I just kind of try to put my own twist from what I'm actually learning in life as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty much where I get everything from is just, you know, and certain occurrences that came along in my life that I'm a real person that goes with my gut feeling. I'm not going to sit here and second guess anything. I'm going with my gut feeling. If the energy ain't right, count me out, you know?
Yeah. No, I think what you're saying is true. Like, you know, they give you that foundation and then you kind of like build on top of that, right? And then you tweak it a little bit. Yeah. And then you hope that your kid does the same with their kids. You know what I mean? Like they continue on that way.
Yeah. I can't force my son to become a doctor. What I could do is I could open a path up for him and try to direct him down it. And if he chose to go another word, guess what? I got to kind of support him on that. Like, it's all about support, and it's about understanding that everybody in this world has a different, they have a different job, a different position on this earth, and it's not what we want it to be. It's what they want it to be. So you got to kind of really duck and dodge. You got to roll with the waves, man.
Yeah.
It's called evolution. You got to evolve.
It's true. And especially now with, you know, the world is changing and entrepreneurship is such a big part of the game now. Like, do you think you're going to be pushing your kids to chase entrepreneurship, or do you think you're just going to like sit back and hope that he comes back to you and says, "Yo, Dad, I want to run something"?
A little bit of both, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I guess, cause the thing is where I see people, cause it happened to me where we kind of get stuck is from the pressure. And I don't want to do anything to put that type of pressure on my child to make him feel that he's pleasing his parents, because he has to understand that in order to take care of anything in this earth, you have to take care of self. You have to love self in order to love anybody else. And that's where it all starts. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a little bit of both. I do wish that he'll deal with, you know, being an entrepreneur, because that's the way that we're actually raising him. Mm-hmm. But sometimes down the line, you do have those kids that come from good backgrounds that just want to be an artsy person. You might just want to be an artist and sit in the house all day. But just make, like my parents told me, if you screw up, do a good job doing it.
Yeah, give it your all. give it your all. Mess up hard, you know what I mean?
Give it your all. So I'm going to always support my children. That's the thing. And that's the thing that a lot of people, we miss. We don't get that support. Like, if my child wanted to be a professional, count the alphabets professionally. I mean, I've never heard of a job like that, but guess what? You know what?
You better go big.
This is what we're going to have to do. This is what we got to do, you know, because there's no such thing as a dumb idea.
Nah, it's true, man. It's true. I mean, every day people wake up and they say, damn, I was thinking about that idea yesterday and I thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
And now it's out there as a million-dollar company, billion-dollar company.
Billion-dollar industry, man.
Yeah, but you know, along with those big dreams and aspirations, we take losses too, right? And when you started your trucking business, I'm pretty sure like any other business, you took a few losses, man. So how do you teach your kids on that side of things? Like, yo, we're gonna hook you up, we're gonna take care of you, but there's a time when you're gonna lose, and this is how you're gonna handle it.
Well, you know, by him being around me every single day, he sees it firsthand, you know. I try to go through, and let me tell you something. People think that taking a loss is a bad thing.
True.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not.
It's part of the game, man.
It's a part of the game. You got to take the good with the bad. And the thing is that you have to build, and I'm a big person, I speak this all the time, you have to build that callus around yourself, like mentally. You have to build the mental callus around yourself. Just like I just broke something down today. I had a parent-teacher conference this morning with my son's teacher, right? He has a he's a homeschooled child, but he has a circuit where they meet once every week, you know? So he does have a teacher. So I went and talked to her this morning, and I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I've never met a professional guitarist with beautiful fingers. I said, when they had beautiful fingers, the music was horrible. But as time progressed and they built that callus, things got, the sound was just music to your ears. And she looked at me, she was like, wow, I never heard that analogy before. I'm like, because that's how life is. When you don't have enough bumps and bruises, you know, that means that you're not really living a wholesome life. But when I see people with scars and wounds, it means they have a story to tell, and it means that they've exceeded somewhere down the line. And there's a beauty deep down inside that, you know, it needs to be acknowledged.
Yep.
And that's how I think that I'm raising my child. Like, I'm trying to make him build this callus over himself from error. And that's where it all starts.
Yeah, no, you said it perfectly, but it also, you know, another place that it also starts with is like what you just said, the presence, right? By
the presence,
by
man.
You being there and then him being there with you, you get to teach these lessons without even trying. You know what I mean?
Effortlessly.
Like, you're just chilling there. Something bad happens, you turn it into a learning moment. And that's
correct.
You know, that's something that we preach. Like, we preach that you have to make your presence felt. And it starts with you being there. You know what I mean? And then those losses are hard, because as a dad, sometimes there's moments when your kid takes an L and you want to jump out there.
Yeah,
and
you gotta catch yourself. You have to. You better. Because, you know, after a while, your child is going to learn that I've only won because mommy and daddy allowed me to. You know, self-gratification is where it actually starts. You got to, like, my son has to have some type of gratitude towards himself to know that he's did something great. And he also has to understand that losing is not a bad thing. You know, there's all, like, look, there's only, winning is everything, right? And even if you lose, you're still a winner. Because you could accept the fact that, you know what, these are the things that I've done wrong, and I could change it later on down the line. And so when I have this issue again, I can face them accordingly, and, you know, and exceed. And that's what I wanted my son to understand, and, you know, and live by, because that's what I live by.
Yeah, yeah, nah, and it sounds like you live by gratitude also, because you mentioned that also, and gratitude is a big part of the game.
You better. I'm telling you, you better. You know, so many people go into depression because they feel like they didn't do or give their all. That may be the case, but at the end of the day, as long as you got up and tried to attempt to do whatever it is that you were set out to do, you know what? You can't bash yourself, man. I used to do it all. I still do it from time to time. I'm a human. But at the end of the day, I do realize that I can't beat myself up. I can't beat a dead horse. Because at the end of the day, I knew I tried. What I could do now is sit back, reevaluate the situation, and take on whatever, you know, I need to take on later on down the line, but in a better manner, so I won't feel that way again. But it's, you know, you just have to, you have to believe in yourself and be creative with yourself. If you don't have no creativity, the battle is, you've already lost.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's insane, because it's like, you know, it's like they always say, like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? And if you don't take the
shot,
then you can't have any gratitude, because you didn't try anything.
That's true.
Like, you have to push the fan to, like, keep pushing and to try things. So now, like, look, with gratitude, right, you're building a business, you're making good money building that business, you're driving really nice cars, doing nice things, right? How do you keep yourself and your family humble?
And I'm going to be honest with you, I was raised like this, man. I've been having nice stuff my whole entire life.
So it goes back to the foundation.
It goes all the way back to the foundation, man, because I know people that didn't have anything and have nice things and still have that screwed up mentality, you know. And see, when you raise a certain way, and I'm not saying it's never too late, you know, you have to adjust. It's never too late. You're going to go through your withdrawals if you get a little money. You're going to go through all that. But at some point, you better humble yourself and sit your butt down somewhere. Because there's somebody else in line that's willing to take it all,
yeah.
You know? You never let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So I just really pretty much, I was raised like this. I've had everything under the sun since I was a kid, you know? So, you know, at the end of the day, this is, I ain't gonna say this is nothing. This is everything to me because I'm able to build on to a legacy that was left to me as well, you know? So, but at the end of the day, you know, it all comes with being a thorough individual, man, and having that, that humble, being humble. Mm-hmm. Humble is number one key.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes back to what you were saying, where it's like, you know, some things are built for us, like given to us, like not given to us, but set up for us. Right. Which is correct. What we want to do for all our kids, where it's like, we don't want to, you know, we'll gladly give them $1 billion if we got it, but we want to work towards it. Right. So we want to teach them that if we get there, they still got to push to get theirs too. Like we got that. Dad got that. Yeah. Now it's your turn to go get it. And I'll be here to help you.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it boils down to. I mean, you know, like I said, I was raised with a silver spoon, but I had to work for everything that I've acquired in my life, you know, and because it's not like a lot of people have it in their head just because they were inherited certain things or given certain things that's where it stops. No, that's where it starts.
True.
That's where it starts.
That's just the starting point.
At the end of the day, that's your starting point. That's not where you stop, that where you can go take all these crazy vacations and buy all these crazy dumb cars. Like, that's where, you know, and that's the mentality that people, they have. And you cannot have that going into any type of business. You know, I get a lot of people that approach me. I've had friends that had millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I try to tell them, hey, you know, once you invest it and do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I get it. You don't want to hear that. But don't come to me when you got $10,000 left in your pocket talking about you want to start a trucking company, because it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. So you think
it's not gonna happen.
So you think a lot more people are going from being regular truckers to now owning and operating their own fleets? Do you think it's opening up, or do you think people are still a little afraid?
I think a lot more people are trying to get into the industry. I think it's like a 50-50 situation. Because, you know, this trucking thing has been around way before, you know, I was even thought of. And I think right now it's just our generation is making it cool, you know, because we got into it. We were in a generation where working was, you know, you get laughed at because you had a job. But I've seen people laugh at certain people because you had a job. You know, you wasn't hustling. You wasn't doing this. You wasn't in the in crowd. But the reality of it is that, you know, I think we're just getting acknowledged now, you know, for what we do, and certain people are making it look cool. So, you know, and it helps because it's really keeping a lot of pressure and a lot of BS away from certain people. Cause you, and it's also creating more jobs for people that, you know, took the wrong path in life, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that it's pretty much, it's about a 50-50 situation with it, because you have people that are just getting a license that don't have the funds to do, you know, what they want to do right now. And, you know, it, to those people, my hat go off to y'all, you know, and keep on pushing, because, you know, everything is out here. Look, it's so much money in the world and you ain't got $100 of it. Like, come on. Yeah. We got to, you know, keep on pushing.
Got to go get it. Got to go get
it.
So now if a dad is out there that he wants to, let's say he's not even a trucker yet, or he wants to get into the trucking industry, right? What's your first piece of advice, man? What should they do besides going to your website to get the course? I know you got a course out there too.
Do your research. Do your due diligence, because it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you straight up, it's not for everybody. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm just a normal guy who's willing to give the information that I've learned that works for me. Mm-hmm. So, just do your due diligence, man. Do your research and see that this is something that, and ask questions. Don't have a closed mouth. Keep asking questions and you know, and just dive in head first. That's all I can tell people, man. Yeah.
What's the biggest mistake you made that you could talk about?
Putting my trust in my business in other people's hands. That'll probably be, you know, mm-hmm. the biggest mistake, because at the end of the day, you can't really blame them. You have to blame yourself still. So, you know, always do your homework and your business, and don't really too much go into too many partnerships, because a lot of you know, I'm not saying that everybody is not thorough, but you have a lot of people that are not thorough. And, you know, just put it like this. When you give,
Nah, it's all good. They're coming for you.
Yeah. You just, if you give somebody $200 and see how they act with that, you can't not trust them with $200,000. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the whole analogy on that situation. So you pretty much, you just don't go into business with anybody. Just go in and figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then start hiring out after that, like once you know the positions and everything, like the roles.
Correct. Once you know the roles and position that everybody plays, then you can move forward. But other than that, do your due diligence on your own and figure it out and learn your business. Learn your craft. Don't try to come into the trucking industry and, you know, without a license, thinking that you're going to run a business. There's only a few people that I've seen done that was successful. But other than that, I need to be in control of everything that I do. Mm-hmm. I have to be in control of that, you know, so I don't ever want to have to rely on anybody when I could do it myself.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. That's what it is. So I know you bought a big truck, right? Was it a dump truck or is it a, like, I don't know the correct terms for these things. Like I know you do the dump truck business out of it, but is same like big front, like the cab?
Yeah, I actually started off with a hot shot company. It was a Dodge Dually, 3,500 Dodge Dually. Mm-hmm. And I was pulling a gooseneck trailer. So that's what I started, you know, doing like a lot of flatbed work and moving containers, moving army. I had military contract. I was doing all that type of stuff. And then I jumped out of that and I got into the dump truck. So the dump truck is basically sand, dirt, and gravel. Mm-hmm. So and it was local. It made sense. I really could be at home at that point, you know. And then it was easier for me to put a driver in because the money was a lot different, mm-hmm. you know. So it was more meat on the bone for everybody to eat.
How did it feel messing with a dump truck though? Like it feels like you know those big Tonka trucks, right? Like did you ever take your son up there and be like, yo, pull the lever?
Like, yeah, go. I put him up in there. You know, I put him up in there and let him test it out and try it out, and you know, he loved it, man. And you know, it was something different. It wasn't too different because I already had history operating heavy equipment. You know, uh-huh. So it was just a plus. And plus, I liked the style, you know, kind of trucks that I have. I like the hobby as far as putting them together and, you know, dressing them up a certain way. So it was a win-win situation for me.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Now you get to do weekends and stuff like that with your son where you could just like work on the truck, like just to mess around. You know what I mean? Like show him things.
Correct.
And that's like the Correct. American dream, bro.
It's the American dream, brother.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, man, what's next for you guys, man? What's next for the Huffman Transportation Company, man? What's going down?
Well, what's next right now? We have we're gonna have a big old gala March 14th out here called Connect 2020. it's catering not just to truckers, but it's catering to everybody in the industry. Like as far as the cannabis industry, whether you're a real estate agent or a, you know or insurance broker, or it's just something that where everything ties into business. So you know what works for one person might not be for the next person, but we're going to have everything right there that everybody could be comfortable and talk about. You know, it's going to be a lot of ideas and a lot of networking. So I would advise a lot of people to, you know, book your tickets, come out and have some fun, man.
And how do they go about booking the tickets? What's the website?
You could actually go to truckitright.com and on there, or go to our Instagram, truckitright. And, you know, a lot of the details will be on there. Or go to Huffman Transportation, at Huffman Transportation on Instagram. And a lot of stuff is going to pop up on there.
That's what's up. I'll definitely put it in the show notes. Let everybody know.
That's it.
Well, G, that's man, it. You killed it, bro. On behalf of the Fatherhood is Lit community, we appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to do this, for real.
I appreciate you guys, man. Definitely. Keep on striving and doing what you're doing, man, and bringing awareness and letting these people know that, you know, it don't stop. It keeps on going. So keep on rolling with the punches, man.
That's right. And no amount of money stops that either, man. I love what you said earlier.
No amount of money.
The contract didn't take you away, bro. And that's real.
Exactly. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
For sure, for sure. To the community, y'all know what we do. Our presence matters. And G just taught us that you can care. And that you can care while still running a business. When you actually do care, you find a way to be there. Make your presence felt. Fatherhood is lit.